Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to another reality show. I am your host Golden Hawk, and this is my very first Blog Talk Radio. I am extremely excited to be hosting my own show on this incredible network, Blog Talk Radio. And boy, I have lots of things to share. Now, I'm new at this, so we're just going to kind of walk through this on the air as I go through this. First of all, I have a guest caller. Is my guest caller on the air?
I am.
All right. Trisha's here. Okay, great. All right, so before we bring on my guest, I kind of want to talk to people about what is another reality show and why am I doing a radio show called that? Another reality show is the product of my passion. I have a lot of things to say that are not necessarily mainstream. I have a lot of opinions and what I would call perceptions of what I call reality, and it is very much my desire to speak about these things and to share my thoughts and my opinions and my experiences, and it is also very much a desire of mine for anyone listening to also share their thoughts and their opinions. This is an open, safe arena for people's opinions and questions and anything they want it to be. You can come on my show and sing a song if that makes you happy. It is definitely my hope that it's interactive, but I recognize that I'm new out here, so until you guys find me, I'm going to invite my friends and my own personal guests on, and when I don't even have that, I'm just going to sit and talk and share my experiences. This is the beauty of hosting your own radio show. So, okay, let's get into who my guest is and why I've invited her on today. All right, I'm a very spiritual person. I live, eat, sleep, breathe, and speak about spiritual experiences. About 2 years ago, I was going to see a friend I knew from middle school. Me and a good friend of mine were coming down. I was going to be taking another friend of mine to our first concert. We were going down to West Virginia to where my high school friend lives, and to make a long story short, me and her husband kind of did not see eye to eye on many things, and a woman that worked for my friend named Trisha Lindner, who is my guest tonight, offered me without ever meeting me. She had spoken to me on the phone a few times, but offered me without ever meeting me, my boyfriend, and a friend of mine who was 15 at the time, a place to stay, their house, for the 4 days that we were going to be up there to go to this concert and spend some time. And I was really amazed at the hospitality and the generosity and the sheer kindness that Trish showered on me and my friends without ever having to know us. Now, clearly, me and Trish have become our own friends since then, and we have dived off of many a cliff together. Metaphorically only, we have yet to skydive. but you know, it's always a point of mine, no matter what radio show I'm broadcasting from, for people to know that kindness absolutely does exist in the world, and generosity, and a genuine, true desire to share and to be in community and communion with perfect strangers. And I'm hoping that in the days and weeks and years to come, I'm going to share many stories with you of people just like that. But for today, it's Trish Lindner. So me and Trish she has helped me on many levels with She helps me do my technical work. She helps me get my websites together and content together, and she helps me build flyers for appearances or techniques that I'm promoting. Well, Trish also is a travel agent. Or, well, I don't, am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trish is a travel agent. And she works with an online travel agency called YTB. And so when I was starting this new Blog Talk Radio show, once again, Trish came to my rescue. And she helped me figure out how it is to sign up to Blog Talk Radio, how to get started on Blog Talk Radio. I truly mean it when I say to you, Trish has held my hand and walked me through many, many occasions that, looking back, were, you know, I guess they were simple, but she never made me feel stupid or otherwise. She just basically said, come on, let's walk through some, you know, let's walk through this, and whatever I can do to help, I'll help. Well, so I want to give that back to Trish, and Trish is going to be my travel segment person on my show every week. And what Trish is going to do is she's going to share some of her personal stories. She is going to share some of her, her wisdom about traveling. And on top of it, Trish is here to help anybody who's listening if they're looking for some travel assistance, whether it be airline, rental cars, hotels, cruises. It doesn't matter. Trish is the girl to go to. She is my go-to girl when it comes to travel, and from anything from $50 fees or $50 price tags to $500 price tags.
Absolutely.
Trish can help us out. So first, let me welcome you to the show. Welcome to the show, Trish.
Thank you, and thank you very much for all those lovely and kind things. And just so that people know, it's a two-way street too, and you've done amazing things for me. So I'm more than happy to always be able to help you in return.
Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Community lives. And I'm a firm believer that the news and mainstream media might promote a lot of the hatred and separation that is going on in the planet. But the truth is, when we look within our own communities, our own Rolodex, our own friends and family, it is very much alive. A spiritual concept of sharing and caring and taking care of each other is very much alive and growing within the human population.
Absolutely. And you know what else I find absolutely amazing about our relationship and how much that we help each other out and the distance between the two of us?
Right.
I mean, it's very much possible to help people all the way across the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Trish has been my travel agent pretty much since I met her. And in all honesty, yeah, I live in Connecticut. She lives in West Virginia. Never a problem with booking, never a problem with any of it. I mean, she's been in Pennsylvania with me when I was dating a guy in Pennsylvania, and we basically were staying in hotel rooms every time I went to go see him. As well as I called Trish up and said, okay, it's time to swim with the dolphins. I didn't have a clue on what to do with that. We're going to talk about that next week, but Trish helped me out with that as well. So what we've decided, though, is because this is a spiritual talk show, we wanted to blend travel with the whole essence of spiritual travel.
Absolutely.
And people might be saying, spiritual travel, is she booking flights on spaceships?
Not today.
She's not doing that yet, but you know, if
you
we
know
do,
picture my old.
Indeed. Hey, listen, if any aliens come up and say, listen, we've got room on our XL's 37450-900, maybe Trish can find us some available participants.
Oh, that's too funny.
So what do we mean by spiritual travel? Well, spiritual travel, Trish, you take over now. Tell us what we mean by spiritual travel.
Well, spiritual travel can be really anything that is a spiritual experience for yourself. It can be anything from, you know, attending some kind of a seminar to going to the Grand Canyons or going to Egypt and viewing the magnificent pyramids. I mean, it really is anything that's going to bring any kind of enlightenment to you and your soul and just bring you absolute joy.
There you go.
And that's truly what spiritual travel can entail.
Absolutely. And you know what? I was thinking about this, too, because to promote Trish, which is a joy for me to be able to do, once you have Trish as your travel agent, you're really going to see that you would use her, you know, there could be a time where someone passes and you need something quick.
Absolutely.
There could be a time where there's an emergency and you need to, you know, fly somewhere or be somewhere, or if you're moving and, you know, you need to check out the area you're moving into. So all these things are potential. So we're going to promote spiritual travel, but once she's your travel agent, you literally utilize her for whatever life throws your way.
Absolutely.
Because I want to say, first and foremost, for me, I am one that likes the economy package of travel. Trish has found me deals better than the basic, Hotwire and Travelocity.
Right.
She has found me packages where she has worked her magic and got me discounts simply because she spoke to the people. Just truly amazing things. I mean, I remember when I was seeing Jimmy in Pennsylvania, I mean, she got me a deal, you know, based on the fact that we would continue to utilize their hotel services every time I was in town, which, you know, I mean, that lasted for 3 or 4 months, but, it was like I was a VIP. I mean, she literally got me VIP treatment. It was most outstanding, and it really fit my pocketbook and Jimmy's wallet, so it was awesome. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, but for now, the spiritual, what we want to do is highlight spiritual travel. So
sure.
Tell them about who we've picked.
Okay, well, for this week, we've picked Steve Rother, who, Goldie, would you like to say a couple of things about Steve Rother?
Sure. Steve Rother is a channeler. He channels a group entity which preferred not to be called by a specific name, so he references this group entity as the group. And they are, what we are doing is we're highlighting, they have been my teachers. Their web page is lightworker.com, correct?
Yes.
Not plural.
Correct. It's lightworker.com.
Lightworker.com. Mm-hmm. They have a plethora of information. They have channelings dating back to 2005, I believe, maybe even earlier. They're MP3. They do seminars. They write books. Essentially, who Steve Rother and the group is, they speak about these times that we're living in right now from the spiritual psychology point of view. And the spiritual psychology point of view is the awareness that we are not just physical beings, but that we are souled beings in essence in evolution. So Steve Rother and the group very much help me personally understand my daily experiences in life. They do a monthly channel, and they do a newsletter. They help me. Oftentimes when they're writing about things, it'll be like, I can remember one of the topics Steve Rother was talking about was a rewiring of my brain. Now, this is, you know, kind of sounds a little sci-fi, but in evolution, what happens is, you know, it used to be those of the fittest, I forget, there was a saying, something like the fittest will win or whatever.
Yeah, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but I know what you mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when I say that Steve Rother is channeling about rewiring of the brain, This is happening on a global scale to every human being on the planet. This is not something, this is not a conspiracy theory, this is not an alien agenda, this is not, we are not victims of our brain being rewired, we are participants of evolution of the soul, evolution of the human body, evolution of the species we call human. Now, you're going to find, as you're listening to my program, this is pretty much the whole area of topic that Goldie loves to talk about. Now, I will talk to you about it from a first-person point of view, but nonetheless, this is, spiritual psychology is very much a passion of mine. And so what I wanted Trish to do is to highlight her as a travel agent as well as some spiritual destinations. Steve Roth are in the group, and his lovely wife, Barbara, who does the meditations and is very much a part of the whole energy of lightworker.com. They travel. They travel and do seminars all over the globe, and they're based out of Las Vegas. So if you have some information about some of the dates.
I do.
Okay. This way you can check them out online. If some of their teachings resonate with you, you can, and you want to, you know, you can explore them online. And if you wanted to experience them at a live monthly channeling in Vegas, or you wanted to maybe see where they were going to be doing one of their seminars, which is, like I said, only one of the things is the rewiring of the brain. When I talk about psychology, Steve Rother and the group will help us understand why we behave things, past lives. Oh, wow. It's
there were several different interesting things. One had to do with sexual ascension, and one had to do with just light ascending. There was a couple of different things when I was in there looking to prepare for this. It wasn't like a repetition of the same thing over and over again.
Not at all.
Yeah. Yes, definitely many different things to choose from.
Absolutely. With the emphasis on, because I guess when we say the psychology, the spiritual psychology, you know, if you look at Freud figured out that we have an ego, a superego, and an id. There were a conscious, a superconscious, and a subconscious. There are certain aspects of why we do what we do based in the physical realms. There are certain aspects of why we do what we do based in the spiritual realms or the soul realms. Spiritual psychology is that why we do what we do based on the soul's perspective, not necessarily the human perspective.
Right.
And so it really is a point of view when you're ready to see yourself as being more than just a physical being. His work and the work of the group is extraordinary. So, okay, so where are some of the next seminars coming up for this?
Okay, in May, from the 2nd to the 6th,
okay.
They're going to be in Elsteet, Holland.
Okay.
That's
a little far for maybe some of the listeners.
That is a little far.
But listen, we're internet now. Who knows?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And then they're going to be, they're going to have on May 9th, they're going to be doing a live broadcast from Tel Aviv, Israel, which again is a little far. However, that can also be enjoyed from the comfort of your home through their website.
Okay.
Also on the 30th, they're going to be live broadcasting in Las Vegas, Nevada. Again, that you can either attend that or you can view it live from your home.
Okay.
And then they're going to be having a seminar on June 22nd through the 26th.
June 22nd, just so you know, that would be the day after the summer solstice. Energetically speaking, a very powerful point
in time. There you go.
Okay.
And that's also going to be in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, that one's a little more closer, so anyone who might be interested in seeing them, that could definitely be a very good possibility.
That could be arranged by Trisha.
Absolutely, absolutely. For all kinds of budgets, don't forget, I can do as cheap as you need to go to as classy.
Elaborate.
There you go.
Okay,
and,
now, oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, there's just one more date, June 22nd, also a live broadcast from Las Vegas, and again can be viewed from home if you can't attend the Las Vegas event.
Okay. Now, what I want the listeners to know is how can they find you if they want to do a spiritual or if they want to do travel just because they want to travel?
Okay. Just a little bit of information about myself. The name of my company is AWT Travel, and AWT Travel stands for A World to Travel. It was kind of a big mouthful, so I shortened it down just a little bit. That's the name of my company. My kind of logo or slang, slogan is
okay.
It's Your World, Travel It.
Okay.
I just find that to be just an awesome statement. But I can be found, if you want to look up any kind of information, you can go to my website, which is awttravelonline.com.
Okay, so AWT Travel, there would be two T's you would have to type in, that correct?
Absolutely. And then the word, it would be AWT, the word travel, and the word online, all together, all lowercase, .com.
Okay.
And on that page, there's a plethora of information for, not only does the company that I work for, not only do we book flight and cruises and hotels, you could literally buy flowers for your girlfriend, you could send candy to your mom, you could buy concert tickets. If you're planning a trip to, let's say, Disney, you could look up there and you could buy extra tickets to go to SeaWorld, you could buy tickets to go to all kinds of different events. Now, there's two Disneys. There's a Disney in California. There's a Disney in Florida. So depending on which one you're going to, there's different, like I know the one in Florida, there's water events that you can go to. You can buy tickets through that.
You mean like a water park? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a water
okay.
park. If you're interested in going to a concert, you can buy tickets through my site as well. There's
okay, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you mean by tickets through your site? What does that mean?
When you go to my site, there's...
which is awttravelonline.com.
Correct. When you go to that site, there's just so much information. I highly just recommend you go, you look around. There is a part on there that is other stuff, where this is where you can... Let's say you wanted to go see the band Chicago.
Okay.
You can go on my site, you can go to extras, and under extras, you'll find ticket and concert purchases. And on that part, you just click on that, and then you put in what you want, the information that you want, and they'll pull up where their concert, where Chicago's playing, what tickets are selling for. So if you were interested in going to a concert, you could do that. If you were interested... As a matter of fact, there's even a spot where you can look at purchasing vehicles. So it's actually it's actually a travel site / entertainment site. And there's a lot of information. We are constantly having, there's actually a page where you can get information on last minute deals. There's a page where you can get information on, trips under $250. And that would include flight and hotel. When I say
under $250, including flight and hotel.
Yeah. They have really, our site is very compatible, and we actually have are intertwined with some of the more popular sites like Hotel.com, Expedia. If you were to go to my site and to Expedia, you'll find that if we're not the same. My site is generally a couple of dollars cheaper.
Okay.
And sometimes when you get your receipt, if you book something for me, you'll see, thanks for dealing with hotels.com. We are affiliated with some of those sites.
Okay.
So some of those popular sites, which is why I can get you amazing deals.
Well, and what I found for myself is that you personally seem to be the, wheeler dealer of travel. I mean, just where you would be calling up these hotels and you would be, talking to the people from the Bimini camp with the dolphin. I mean, you were
right.
The one getting me these amazing deals. So, oh, that was on cue, wasn't it?
That
was cute. Oh, my God, no way! No, really, she really did. And so... what's amazing about the AWTTravelOnline.com is that you can go yourself and book it, or you can get a hold of you, Trish, and you can help people book it.
Absolutely, absolutely. When you go to that site, like I said, there's so much information on that site. There is even information on that site. If you are interested in becoming a travel agent, there's information on that site exactly how to do that. And the very last tab on that site is a contact tab. And on that tab, it's got a little bit of information about myself. It's got my phone number. It's got my email address. If you can't find what you're looking for, or if you don't want to take the time to find what you want to pick up the phone and say, hey, Trish, this is what I want to do. Can you help me out?
Now, wait a minute.
Absolutely.
Where do you find that information, what you just said? Phone number and email for you.
When you go into my site, which is awttravelonline.com.
Okay.
When you go to that site, there are several different tabs at the top of the page, and one of the tabs is contact. Just click on that contact.
Okay.
I can give you my email address. My email address is awt@ben-there.com.
Oh, okay. Ben, B-E-E-N.
Hyphen.
Two N's.
B-E-E-N hyphen.
There, T-H-E-R-E.com.
Like been there, done that?
Okay. Like been there, done that.
Right. So it would just be awttravel@ben-there.com.
Okay. So, thank you very much, Trish Lindner.
You're absolutely welcome. And one more thing that I'd like to say before we wrap this up is I would love to hear from any listeners out there who might have some experience that they might like, spiritual experience that they might like to share, place that might be of interest for us to highlight on one of these little episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to hear from people. So, again, the awttravel@ben-there.com. is a great place to just pop me an email. You can either give me your story or you can send me your contact information. I can call you and talk to you, whatever is easiest for you. But we would love to hear those experiences.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the highlight this week was, again, lightworker.com, Steve Rother and his lovely wife, Barbara,
absolutely,
channeling the group and spiritual psychology. It's
absolutely.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff.
And we've already decided what we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to share Goldie's awesome experience in Bimini with the dolphins.
Yeah, yay!
And we're going to talk about how you can have a just phenomenal experience. And it sounds like an expensive trip, but there are definitely many places we can talk about in regards to that.
Yeah, well, and in all honesty, the price for what you get was exquisite.
Absolutely.
And that is first and foremost starting with the experience with the dolphins, who personally I find to be the most exquisite sound healers on the planet.
Absolutely.
Absolutely exquisite. Okay, well, Trish, you are welcome to stay on the line if you'd like and continue listening to the show. I can see, I guess I'm just learning now, I have a switchboard. I can see if you're here, and if you want to share in, you know, other parts of the show, you're welcome. And if anybody else wants to call in, the number to call in is 646-929-2084. I'm definitely open to stories and sharing about everything, about a personal experience. Even if you don't consider it spiritual, to be honest, nothing's not spiritual. The point of when I say things are spiritual or not is we look at a situation from a different perspective. That's the whole idea of another reality show. Most reality shows that we see on TV, in my opinion and from my perspective, clearly focus on the drama. Now, I definitely focus on the drama too, because the drama is something that's here. But my shift in it is that what does the drama mean? Does the drama mean that we're – hello? Okay. Does the drama mean that we're an eternal being? Does the drama mean that we're a temporary being? So, well, you know what? This is a good place to start about what it is I do and what I love to talk about. Another reality show, I have broadcast on terrestrial radio for the last 3 years, and then with the collapse of the economy, have found myself graciously on Blog Talk Radio, which is the space that allows me to continue to share my thoughts and my passion without having to pay the high price for being on the radio. Now, here's how I look at it from the perspective of another reality show and the reality shows that we see on TV today. The reality shows we see on TV and stuff today, when they highlight the drama, it is often, at least the ones that I watch, it is often that someone outside of us is determining whether we are going to continue on the show or not continue on the show, such as the shows where they're looking for love, or the shows such as Project Runway, the cooking show, Top Chef. You know, these shows are fabulous. They're contestant-based shows, and I will be honest with you, I enjoy watching them. I enjoy reality from many levels. But from my personal perspective and my personal reality, my desire is that I make choices based on self-empowerment. And well, let's start with that. I make choices based on self-empowerment. What exactly does that mean? That would mean that, okay, when I experience something that happens to me, such as, let's go into something that is a personal nature. Okay. When I experience being with a gentleman, and I'm going to go back to last year. I was very much attracted to a gentleman who said that he liked me, but when it came down to it, I did not make enough money for him. He didn't feel secure having me in his life because I didn't make enough money to guarantee that he would not lose his mortgage. In other words, he was looking for somebody to live with, but the finances of that person was very much a top priority to this gentleman. Now, I dealt with a lot of pain because I kept trying to verbally and physically convince him that love has no price tag. I mean, the Beatles sang about it, right? Money can't buy you love. And his perspective was clearly, you know, I love you, but without that money, this relationship is not going to work. Without me having a 9-to-5 job with a specific paycheck, the relationship was simply not going to work. That put me into quite the spin, to be quite honest, because it was the first time it was the first time I was walking my talk in that. This gentleman's name was Scott. I won't give last names, but it was the first time I had to look at myself and say, okay, who am I? Why am I who I am? Why is it that because I'm a nanny as a day job. I've been a nanny for the past, 17, 18 years. I at that time last year was working some temporary jobs, which means that I didn't have a guaranteed schedule. I would call up an agency, and as they needed me, they would send me out. Now, I could have easily went and found a permanent nanny job to become the paycheck so that Scott would approve of my finances and kept the relationship. But inside of me, there was this burning, burning desire that if I had to keep Scott in my life through a paycheck, the reality of that was that it really wasn't about love. It was about money. And that relationship really had me looking in some deep, dark places within myself. because I couldn't understand on a daily basis. I was just so, I was like obsessed with Scott. It was just such a painful, painful relationship. And inevitably, I opted to be true to myself. I did not get the finances. Scott brought back his ex-girlfriend who had left about a year prior. She was, I believe, an X-ray technician, and she made good money. And I think to this day they are still together. And I wish them all the best. I don't regret the choice at all about not getting a job in order to keep the boyfriend or to keep that relationship going. But what I contemplate when I think of that experience is who I am, why I am, how I am, how I became to be who I am. Because I think, I feel there's a lot of people right now on the planet, whether it be through relationships of personal relationships, or whether it be through business partnerships, or even our family dynamics, this idea that we have to be something, that we're supposed to be, quote-unquote, good girls and good boys, or we're supposed to be, it could be anything, financially providing for a family. You know, the men, we clearly have told our men that men have to be the breadwinners in our family. You know, where did we come up with these belief systems? I'm a person that, even if it creates some chaos in my life, if there's a belief system that, you know, pops up into my personal experience that doesn't necessarily bring harmony and joy and creativity and all that fun stuff, then I look at it. I look at it from within my own being to see what does this mean. Like right now, from a personal point of view, I am looking at the belief systems and the energies and emotions around my sexual experiences. And, you know, there was a time in my life when, boy, sex was a priority up there with eating and breathing. I mean, I was very much a sexually active person. I was very much fed, and when I mean fed, emotionally fed by the physical act, that I needed to have sex in order to feel loved. That was a very distinct and poignant dynamic to my experiences. And it's funny because that was my belief. My belief was that I needed to have sex to feel loved, and yet my experience often brought me to having sex with people and clearly not feeling loved. I mean, I couldn't have been farther off from genuine love if I tried. So that was also a lifelong journey, what Steve Rother in the group would call a life lesson, sexual energy and how it's expressed. Because right now I'm at a place, I'm 44 years old, and I'm not ashamed to admit my age at all. I am 44 years old. I am single. I am in love with life. I am in love with myself. And I'm in love with this planet and humanity. I really do love people and animals and trees and plants, and I find that as I fill my life and open my life to more loving aspects, ironically, the physical love that I used to, excuse me, that I used to associate with sex, I seem to desire less. I don't really have many explanations. I don't know why. Because right now I have a very, very special man in my life. And one of the dynamics of and challenges of our relationship is he still wants to have sex with me, and I don't feel it. It's not that I don't feel love towards him, because I do feel love towards him. It's just my body is not responding to his sexual pleasures. It's just not. It's really quite amazing. I am. I'll keep you up to date with this as I journey in and find out what this is. But from my perspective at the moment, I know being self-fulfilled, feeling loved, genuinely feeling loved, I can experience alone when I'm in the woods. I mean, genuinely feeling fulfilled and feeling a sense of contentment and gratification emotionally. I experience that when I'm in nature. For me, it's the woods. I know a lot of people are attracted to the beaches. That I'm sure people have had this exalted feelings when they're on the beaches. It can be anywhere. It can be anywhere predominantly natural. There is something in nature that for me, I mean, literally it affects my physical body in the sense of I don't yearn for physical touch by a person. And that's not to say that I don't yearn for it at all. I don't want to mislead. I still yearn. Well, I still want to be around my gentleman friends and my other friends. I enjoy being around people. I think people are the most fascinating animals on the planet. It's funny because I find people to be the most fascinating animals on the planet, but personally, I feel more safe around animals of the four-legged kind and such, and creepy crawlies and birds and animals of that nature. I feel more safe around that animal kingdom than I do around the human kingdom. And that's been all my life. I'm not quite sure why that is. But that is indeed, it's funny, I would say to most people, I feel safe when I go to the woods and I spend 6 hours rolling around in the dirt and the leaves, climbing trees, taking a nap, just hanging out in the woods by myself, than I would feel going to a mall with, you know, designer clothes and marble floors and lights and people. I don't personally resonate with the whole living for material things. I enjoy material things, absolutely. I enjoy having a roof over my head. I enjoy clothes on my back. I enjoy being snugly warm in my feather bed with my feather pillows and my feather blanket. Yes, Golden Hawk sleeps in a nest. But for me, I am not driven by the idea that I have to constantly renew my wardrobe, constantly renew the type of car I drive. I drive a Toyota Echo, and I love my Echo. I'm not so much interested in status symbols. I honor them, but I'm not interested in them. The status and the symbols that I really most desire are that of the soul. And the soul like I would consider a status symbol of the soul, integrity, harmlessness. What else? Compassion. These are the symbols that, first of all, they're virtues. They're not tangible. You can't hold them in your hand. And yet at the same time, when people say they're not tangible, I mean, I get it that it's not a physical object to hold in your hand. But when you show somebody compassion and then you receive compassion from another place completely unrelated to the area that you gave compassion, you can feel compassion in every cell of your body. I mean, really, quite profoundly, you can feel the experience that the soul, it's almost like the soul is buzzing within the physical body, letting you know, the person know that the soul was acknowledging that act of kindness or that act of integrity, where you know you didn't continue the rumor. Somebody told you a rumor and you could have turned around and told it to another person, but you chose to stop the rumor and not continue it. Or shucks, integrity is a very deep subject. Virtues are normally very deep subjects. They're not something that you can just do once, cross a line, and quote-unquote become enlightened. That's not the way virtues work. Virtues work by what they call practice. Practice, practice. but in practicing the virtues, your soul is literally becoming an expression in the physical world. And when your soul becomes an expression in the physical world, places that are natural will become much more of an influence on your life than the man-made spaces, because the soul really understands life from the perspective of the eternal. The soul is truly what's pushing, I don't want to say pushing, that's not a good word. The soul is what's benefiting from the human evolution. The soul benefits from war. The human does not benefit from war. The soul benefits from war. And it is my belief that 2012 is not the end times or Armageddon, as most documents and scriptures are saying it is. 2012 is the end of time. And time is an aspect of the human condition. Time is not an aspect of the soul condition. The soul thrives, lives, and exists in a timeless space. And recently, I came up with a great way to explain timeless space, because most people really don't have a clue. Even though, I guess one of the ways we could experience timeless space is if you've ever been working on something that you're passionate about, like a good friend of mine, when he works on his cars, he loves working on his cars. He loses all track of time when he's working on his cars. I have other friends of mine who they're mad in love with their small children. I mean, every parent is mad in love, but they had their children later on in life, and when they're playing with their kids, they absolutely lose all track of time. To be quite honest, I have that with children as well. I love being around the little masters of enlightenment that so many adults disregard as having any wisdom. I, on the other hand, look at children as extremely wise beings with an incredible, a plethora of information, energy, and consciousness to share. They are, in my personal opinion, the masters of the universe, at least of the physical universe. So that's one way to experience timelessness, is if you were doing something, maybe crafting, sewing. Now, what I would say is it's not TV. And the reason why I say it's not TV, TV is programmed on a certain frequency, that TV is a hypnotic device. It was created for that. It was intended for that. I believe back in the 50s, there was even a scandal that I don't know if it was on TV as much. Maybe it was in the movie theaters. They were doing subliminals, go buy popcorn. They were showing these signs, go buy popcorn, in between certain frames of the movie or during the break. TV is based very much on the subliminal frequency that we lack in our lives, that we are not good enough in our lives, that we need these material things to have certain emotions in our lives, as joy, happiness, success, contentment. And that is a programming, in my personal opinion. It's not that it's destructive. The best way to put it is it's limited. It is limited because when we're in our soul's timelessness, it's quite the opposite. You don't need a new car. You don't need a type of beer. You don't need to be a certain weight. You are so expanded when you're in the soul's timelessness. And when I say expanded, I mean you feel big. You feel whole. You feel like you are the entire cosmos. Because in reality, you are the entire cosmos. Now, most people have not had that experience of this wholeness that I speak of, this oneness. But once you have, even if it's for, just a sliver of a moment, 3 seconds, 3 seconds of quote-unquote timelessness, which, by the way, timelessness, well, because it's timeless, does not follow the same principles as time. So it might be in this dimension you experience timelessness, tongue-tied, timelessness for 3 seconds. In the experiencing of it, you will experience life from a perspective where you are aware of every drop of water in the air. You're aware of every blade of grass, every animal, every insect, the wind, people, houses. It is such an extraordinary, it can't even be put into words. It really can't. It is such a tremendously deep experience. I have experienced it. And the key about experiencing it is once you have experienced this oneness, it is something that you know exists. And it's like the proverbial carrot. You just continually work and learn and expand and let go of limitations so that you can experience it again. It is the grandest of all highs. It makes drugs and alcohol nothing in comparison. They fall flat in comparison to a genuine, conscious, soulness, timeless, oneness experience. Now, it is my belief that all of us are moving in that direction, that all of us are going to experience oneness, soulness, timelessness, which is going to lead me into the second half of my show, the second hour. Because another reality show is going to have two, at least for the moment, two dynamics to it. The first dynamic is going to be I am going to host shows with guests, Trish will be a featured guest every week where she'll promote a certain travel space and a certain place on Earth and all that good stuff. But I also plan on having guests on such as Phil Imbrogno, a physicist from MIT who's been researching UFO phenomena and paranormal phenomena for over 30 years. Authors, healers, motivational speakers, channelers. I've made some friends in the 3 years that I was on terrestrial radio. I thoroughly enjoy interacting with them and promoting their work and sharing their work. I'm a networker. That's what Goldie is. In my passion, I am definitely a networker, and I enjoy very much hosting what I consider to be exquisitely soul-based human beings. Soul-based by the simple fact of they live in their passion, they share their passion, and they welcome you to explore their passion, if it's your passion, or to explore your own passion. So that's what some of my shows will be with that dynamic. But there's something else that I'd like to share, which is a new dynamic that's entered my life, and I am finding myself to be quite passionate about it. And this is the information of Maitreya. Maitreya is the way I've been introduced to him, the world teacher. Maitreya is an entity who basically is an extremely enlightened, well, I don't want to say extremely. He has reached the pinnacle. Maitreya has reached the pinnacle of the human evolution. Now, what do I mean by that? The human evolution has five initiations. And these five initiations happen in a person's life. Well, when the person, it's by free will and free choice. First and foremost, these initiations happen from free choice. How does this happen? Okay, boy, there's so much. I'm always overwhelmed when I have to begin a topic. I don't know where to talk. I don't know where to start. Okay, before I talk about the initiations, let me talk to you about Maitreya. Maitreya is an enlightened human being. He has been through the five initiations. He would be what I would term a God-conscious human being, or a self-ascended human being. Now, in all honesty, I reference him as a he, but when you have initiated yourself to the fifth initiation, you are no longer masculine or feminine. You are androgynous, because the whole idea that a being could be either A, masculine, or B, feminine, that only exists in the limited third dimension and in a separation experience. Because every single being on the planet is both masculine and feminine. You're not one or the other. I understand that your gender reflects one or the other, but from an energetic point of view, every being on the planet, every human being, is both masculine and feminine. And as our consciousness reflects this awareness, as we become aware that we're both masculine and feminine, our bodies will start becoming more androgynous. The idea of heterosexual love and homosexual love, that will fade away into just love. Because it makes me laugh. First of all, if we're a souled being, which is eternal, and it, as a soul, we have no gender, because the soul being has no physical body. We choose as a soul each lifetime whether to come in to be male or female, because different aspects will be garnished from being male or female. In other words, if we want to go through a lifetime and we want to overcome our desire for power and become more compassionate, we might become become female. Yeah, meaning, because in our culture, in our species, up until 2009, I mean, there's still places on the planet that look at women as having no power. Certain cultures still promote women having no power. So if we wanted to experience a lifetime where we had no power and we had compassion, we'd come in as a woman. If we wanted to experience a lifetime where we were very emotional, I'm having trouble coming up with examples right now because I'm thinking like what I've read about and learned from my teachers about a lot of the gay people on the planet is that they come in very much with, you know, like they could be male, but their dominating energy in their physical body is female. And it's not that they're cross-gendered. They're okay being male. It's just a matter of their dominating energy is female. So I look at that and say, well, if they liked men, but they were in a male body, but their dominating energy was female, that's really heterosexual because their energy is female, so they like men. That's an opposite. It just so happens to be encased in a physically male body. Like, that's how I look at myself. I think I'm gay, but I like men. But the reason why I think I'm gay is because I'm dominantly masculine in a female body, and I like men. So that's at least today, anyways. Anyways, back to Maitreya. Maitreya is an ascended being. And here, first, let me just put out what his mission and his message is. In 1945, Maitreya spoke to certain people on the planet telepathically, saying that if humanity was ready, he would come down from the Himalayas, which is where he lived as an ascended being. Now, as an ascended being, you don't eat food or drink water. You essentially, you live, but not from the needs of the physical. You live because you're choosing it by thoughts and intentions to be alive in the physical plane. In the physical plane only is what I'm referencing. Anyways, in 1945, he spoke to some people. I believe there was five different people. New York, London, Geneva, Rome, Tokyo. That's five. And then I think there was two more. I've read all this information. I just haven't quite memorized the information because I tend to memorize more of the spiritual aspect than certain details. But I get it. I'm sharing. I should know this information. Anyways, in 1945, came down and told five people telepathically, if humanity was ready and invited the Christ, which is, let me just say, Maitreya is the entity who was the oversoul of Jesus of Nazareth during the last 3 years of his being on the physical plane when he was alive. So it was Maitreya's consciousness that was guiding and coming through Jesus the last 3 years of his life. Since then, just so you know, Jesus has graduated to the fifth initiation and is now an ascended master as his own. But I believe he did that the following lifetime. He did not get the fifth initiation through the lifetime of Jesus on the cross. He got it his following lifetime. And Maitreya was also the oversoul who overshadowed the prince, the Buddha, the physical man who shared the Buddha enlightenment. So in other words, Maitreya is the world teacher. He is the consciousness that all these major religions are waiting for, like the Buddha is waiting for the Buddha, the Buddhists are waiting for the Buddha, the Christians are waiting for Christ, the Jews are waiting for the Messiah, the Muslims are waiting for a Muhammad. They're waiting for this teacher that has shown up before, and this book, Maitreya's Mission, which is in three volumes, I've read all three volumes, which is over 2,000 pages worth of information, is, and I highly recommend these books, is that it, all these people was the overshadowing of this one master, Maitreya. Now, in 1945, after World War II, Maitreya goes, I want to come to the planet and help the planet understand all that is happening on the planet, all that, all this killing and all this warring, and how we can put an end to it, that we don't have to live in this duality where there are the haves and the have-nots. What ended up happening, though, according to Benjamin Krem, who I'll explain to you who that is in just a moment, is that after 1945 into the 1950s, where Maitreya thought the world was going to be really on its knees after World War II, saying, how can we do this a different way, there was a realization that not enough countries had actually been affected by World War II in the suffering, and that these countries ended up going right back to the old ways of the haves and the have-nots, greed, selfishness, complacency, many of the aspects of what we see today, which are now crumbling and falling apart, were basically brought about, you know, after the awareness of it was brought about after World War II. Then we had the 1960s with Vietnam, the 50s with Korea. War and famine have been very much teachers for us in the school on the evolution of the human soul and the human consciousness. Well, to get back to my story about Maitreya, 1977, July 19th, as a matter of fact, 1977, Maitreya made an announcement and literally created what, I don't have the word with me, created a body by thought. In other words, this body will not age. This body does not work based on the same way, I'll put it, this body was not born into this planet like we were born. We were born from our parents, you know, mom and dad had a good time, and we came out 9 months later. Maitreya was not physically born on this planet. Maitreya chose through his thoughts and his ability to master energy. He created a body July 19th, 1977, came down the mountain from the Himalayas, took a plane to Pakistan, India, to fulfill a prophecy, I believe, that he would come through the skies. I think it was the prophecy of the Catholics and or Christianity and the Christ, so that he would live amongst the people. Right now, Maitreya lives in an Indian community in London. From Pakistan, he went to London, and will show up in, he's been registered and, not registered, he's been documented to being in many, many groupings of, like, fundamentalist groupings, not groupings, oh, I apologize for not having my words down. Many fundamentalist, I don't know what they're called. See, when I do terrestrial radio, I'd have an engineer right now, and I would say to the engineer, hey, what was that word I'm trying to think of? Oh, when you do blog talk radio, you're really out there all by yourself. No, I'm good with those. I'm good with that anyways. Okay, well, it has been documented that Maitreya has shown up in, like, Nairobi, Africa, I believe that is, or Nairobi, I know it's Nairobi, in front of a group of 6,000 people. They were doing, they had a speaker, and they were speaking in the Nairobi language. It was a gathering. Maitreya appeared out of thin air. I mean, literally just appeared on the stage out of nowhere, spoke for 20 minutes, and then disappeared into thin air. There was a reporter that I got to find out the date on this. I know it was reported by CNN, and some major networks have definitely already talked about and documented Maitreya's appearances all over the world. The one of the first things that really captured my attention about the Maitreya work about a month ago, I was watching, as a matter of fact, Steve Rother's monthly virtual lightcast, and they had a guest speaker on named, boy, my brain is just cookie bird today, Wayne Peterson. In fact, you can watch it if you check out his website. Wayne Peterson is a diplomat, and he works for the U.S. government, helping students from other countries. There's the Albright Foundation, I believe it's called, where he helps students from other countries come to this country and students from this country go to the other countries. And Wayne Peterson starts talking about a master, a spiritual being that's going to come onto the planet, going to do a telepathic message simultaneously across the board, across the entire planet. He's going to overshadow every single being on the planet so that they have an experience of a genuine, spiritual, heartfelt experience. I don't know what it's going to be, but my belief is that it's going to be similar to the experience I had of oneness. You're going to feel a love so tremendously deep within you that it's you can't hold it in your hand, but it is something you will never forget for the entire duration of this physical body being on the planet. You'll always remember this spiritual experiences. When they happen, they can be ever so brief. They can be seconds, and yet you'll never forget them. And Wayne Peterson was saying that Maitreya was going to do a telepathic message for anywhere from 25 to 35 minutes across the whole planet. Now, what fascinated me about this was the whole idea of a diplomat. This was a diplomat, somebody who worked in the government, sharing information about a spiritual being. Now, I've been on a spiritual path, shucks, since I'm 30 years old, which is about the time, I guess it was about the year 2000 or 2005, where I have been, oh, no, excuse me, I was 30 years old in 95. What amazed me is the spiritual people that I followed, they were all, you know, I mean, not in my opinion, but in many people's opinion, they were woo-woos. You know, they were out there and, you know, my name is Golden Hawk. I promise you, I wasn't born with that name, Golden Hawk, but you reach a certain point in your experience where my birth name was Cindy, which in and of itself is not such a, okay, that's a great name. But everybody used to call me Sin. And I reached a point where I could no longer respond when people said Sin. I didn't want to respond and say, yes, well, you know, what do you need? I'm not a Sin. And I didn't look at it from a religious point of view. Sin to me is a archery term. It originates as an archery term. I think it's in Greek. And it means to miss your mark. And I was not going to miss my mark. So I told the universe, listen, I need a name to respond to that, whether in full or in nickname, has a high frequency. And Golden Hawk came to me in a vision, and here I am. And what Golden, my nickname is Goldie. Both have a high frequency. I have no trouble responding to them. Anyways, back to Maitreya. When Wayden Peterson was talking about the spiritual being that was going to make his way on the airwaves, TV, on a television, satellite television across the globe simultaneously, it really captured my attention because I'm not used to spiritual people that are speaking about spiritual things like masters and telepathic and entities, energies, who are diplomats. Now, it's funny because Steve Rother, Lee Carroll, who was in, who does Cryon, and Jeffrey Hoppe, who does Tobias and St. Germain and Cthumi, all three of those men, I believe, well, Steve Rother and Lee Carroll were both engineers. My father is an engineer. If you know engineers, they're similar to, I would say, diplomats in the sense of it's all about math. There's not a whole lot of spirituality. Well, I shouldn't say that because I'm finding as my father gets older and he speaks to me, my father was an alchemist. He was an excellent engineer and he understood the black and white of engineering, but he also understood a dynamic aspect of how metal worked. My father is a metallurgist, and he had a lot of patents and certain things that he created for IBM. He worked for IBM for many years based on the idea that metal, when it's standing still, has certain properties, but metal, when it's in movement or something is moving over it, the properties change, which is called dynamic. He understood the dynamic of metal, where that's an alchemist understands those things. And the term alchemist is like science. It's like science on... from the metaphysical point of view. Alchemy is something that is very much a science. It's just we don't have the technology, necessarily the instruments to document it. But that doesn't mean that alchemy is not very much a truth in our sciences. In fact, the most famous science alchemist was Merlin, because time can also be played with from the perspective of timelessness and not timelessness. In fact, I never even got to my thing when I was talking about timelessness. I talked about being in your passion. Just so you know, the greatest place where you can experience timelessness is when you dream. Most people, I know that when you dream, a lot of people are still attached to their watch. But at some point in time, in a dream, somewhere, you have changed your thought and ended up someplace else. Or you have not unfolded the story in a linear fashion. It would be in a circular fashion. You would think something and immediately go there. And as you become lucid and consciously aware, you will see that in your dream state there is no time. Time is based in the illusion on the sun going up and down, where when we sleep and dream, it can be instantly night, and then a moment later it can be daytime. You can be in one part of the world, and instantly, a thought later, you can be in another part of the world. And believe it or not, there is more truth to our dream time being a reality for us than what we would call being awake. But that's for another segment. Anyways, back to Maitreya. Okay, so Wayne Peterson, speaking about Maitreya, talking about Maitreya coming over the airwaves, to give us a telepathic message simultaneously. In fact, from what I've read, as long as you're over 14 years old, every single human being on the planet, every mother, every father, every brother, sister, woman, man, or child, when Maitreya makes what he calls his day of declaration, which he will get on TV, and whether you have a TV or not, doesn't matter, whether your TV is on or not, doesn't matter, and will telepathically unite humanity as one being, meaning humanity as that one being. It will change humanity forever. Because once humanity genuinely experiences a telepathic communication, a communication that is experienced by every single person that you talk to, friend or foe, neighbor, or somebody who lives, you know, across the country, across the world, and every single person you talk to says that he has or she has the same experience that you had, that a being talked to them. See, here's what most people, if you've never experienced a telepathic experience, well, I shouldn't say that. Everybody's experienced telepathy. They might not be aware of it. I experienced telepathy with a highly conscious being. Information is shared not through the language coming through your voice. Information is shared by sheer thought. And it's information that it comes as a packet. It's a whole experience. It's not linear. It doesn't come out of your mouth word by word by word by word by word. A telepathic experience is like a packet of information and experience. It's like a download. As soon as it's downloaded into you, you know it from every angle. It's such a different experience than to take something in linearly, like what I'm doing right now by speaking on the radio. Maitreya will talk on through the TV, but when he does his telepathic message, every language, every person in their own language will receive this message simultaneously. I mean, I just can't wait. See, I've experienced these things. I can't wait for the world to experience these things because I know how much they changed my life. To know that this is going to happen on a global scale, it's so beyond exciting. I mean, now, just so you know, okay, let's go back a little. Benjamin Krem. It's actually Benjamin Krem. I am going to work on getting Benjamin Krem on my show, so that will be a very exciting show. Anyways, Benjamin Krem has written several books. He is the editor-in-chief of a magazine. Here's another wonderful, look him up on the internet. Share, S-H-A-R-E, hyphen, international.org. ShareInternational.org is a magazine that Benjamin Krem, he's from London, is an editor. Benjamin Krem has had a master. He doesn't call it channeling. He calls it overshadowing him, which means a master, and it's not Maitreya, but it is one of the beings that works with Maitreya, overshadows Benjamin Krem, and Benjamin Krem has been sharing his wisdom on how the planet has the potential of looking, feeling, being, expressing after an enlightened being, which they call an enlightened brother. Maitreya is like an elder brother of humanity. Maitreya and several, I think there's 40 masters at present on the planet. What they mean when they say an elder brother is they are beings that have been through the five initiations, and so they understand the limited perceptions of how we see the world. They understand that we see ourselves as male or female. That is a perception of separation. In their mastery, like I said, they're no longer male or female. They are androgynous. They're androgynous because the whole ascension that all the New Age is talking about, and in my opinion anyways, the whole ascension is really that which was separated is coming back together. So the descension, which is us going into very dark times, like the whole Dark Ages, clearly the last 500 years have been very dark times for humanity. I mean, very dark times. what's happening now is we're coming into the ascension, or as Benjamin Krem would put it, the last 2,500 years have been the Piscean Age. The Piscean Age is the constellation of Pisces. The sun has been in the constellation of Pisces, the whole planet, actually. And Piscean energy is about individuality and, oh, there's a few other attributes to it. I'm not quite sure right now, but individuality is one of the major aspects of the Piscean energy. And we're coming into the Aquarian energy, and the Aquarian energy is the aspect of synthesis or unity. And so as we move through the zodiac sign in astrological terms, there are going to be different energetic rays. That's how Benjamin Krem speaks about it in his books. I'll speak more about that. Also, I have been meeting people from the whole Maitreya movement that I absolutely plan on having people that have been studying this much longer than I have on the air to talk with them, and you'll get a much better definitive explanation of these things. I apologize for my not knowing the facts. What I guess I'm really attempting to do here is to share with you that I have been on a journey of enlightenment and awakening for the past 14 years. The Maitreya's mission books, volume 1, 2, and 3, have clearly stated from a social, economic, and political standpoint a perspective that the world can be heaven on earth. Now, I've heard a lot of people talk about this in, from a meditation point of view. We have to pray for, peace on earth. I'm all for all that, my friends. But never before have I read books where they're mapping it out. I mean, when I read these books, again, Maitreya's Mission, Volume 1, 2, and 3, by Benjamin Krem, C-R-E-M-E. I bought all these books on Amazon. They're not expensive at all. Never before have I found somebody from a political, social, and economic position show me, literally talk about it to me, how education will look after Maitreya does his day declaration, how the economy will look, how politics will look, what the UN, how the UN will redesign itself and become a distribution center. Because Maitreya's main message, very simple. We have to share all the resources we have in the world. It can no longer be one-third of the population has an abundance and is working through greed and selfishness, why two-thirds of the population on the planet literally starve and die. That unless we heal that imbalance, the earth will die. The whole earth, it can no longer be sustained that one-third lives in gluttony and two-thirds are dying. I mean, that is just, it's a blatant imbalance. And it can no longer be tolerated. But the amazing part about it is when you read these books, all 2,000 pages, because each book is about, shucks. Well, the first one's about 300 pages or 400. The second two are like 680 pages. But it's like, it's an incredible read. You read about how education is going to be these temples that are going to prepare people to take the initiations. And one of the things he said about the initiations, which really just stoked me, most people at this point believe that we live more than one lifetime, that we reincarnate. Well, according to Benjamin Krem and Maitreya's work, it can take us 100,000 incarnations before we come to the first initiation, which each human will go through five. 100,000 lifetimes before we get to the first initiation. Once we get to the first initiation, in as rapidly as 14 years and in as little as 5 years, we can make it all the way through to the fifth initiation. Now, what's so amazing about that is there, my other teachers, like the Tobias and Saint Germain and Steve Rother, Almeen, what they've been telling me recently is there is going to be an incredibly huge number of people going through an awakening right now. Consciousness is going through an awakening. And the awakening that consciousness is going through is the idea that we are more than our physical bodies, that there is actually a soul, and there are soulful influences that affect our realities and affect our everyday beingness. Now, if you put together if I put together all these teachers that I'm reading from and following for shucks, I've been following the CrimsonCircle.com work for a good 10 years now. I've been following Steve Rother and the group for a good, oh my, I'd say 7 or 8 years. Cryon for at least since 96. He's Cryon, cryon.com. That's K-R-Y-O-N. If you follow all these people and you start crossing and crisscrossing the information, it basically means that there's a worldwide awakening going on where the masses of the people are entering their first initiation. Now, with Benjamin Krem's material, that means that basically within the next couple of decades, life as we know it from this point and where it's going to be based on it takes 100,000 lifetimes to get to the first initiation, and then after you get to that first initiation, you know, in as little as 14 lifetimes after that, you can be at a fifth-level initiate. Fifth-level initiate is essentially the God being, Sai Baba. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Sai Baba. He's an avatar that lives in India. This gentleman, he is a physical human being, but he has traits of an avatar, which are, Benjamin Krem talks a lot about him in his books, that he is essentially a physical being who he can bilocate, he can manifest things out of thin air, he can read your mind, he can influence things. He has an understanding of consciousness and energies that are much greater than the average person who has not had their initiation yet. I believe that I personally have had a level 2 initiation in 2001. But I'm still reading up, and I have not gotten confirmation from within myself that that is the case. But I know I had an initiation, and it happened in Sedona, Arizona, the year my mother died. And it's interesting because they talk about initiations when you get it can be very challenging times, and yet it's some of the greatest times in our experiences as souls expressing ourselves as humans. So there's a lot of paradoxes that happen with initiation, that it's the worst of times, it's the best of times. As the Tale of Two Cities once stated, which I believe is what's happening also right now. It's the worst of times, it's the best of times. So much is happening. There's a tremendous influx of consciousness and awakening, and wow, it's really a tremendous time. I'm very excited to be able to be on the planet, to be able to speak and share my insights. I hope whoever's out there listening is enjoying my insights. It could be nobody, and you know what? I'm okay with that because they're archived. Maybe at some point somebody will hear this and will listen to this. And I would like to share with you one of, there's a lot of invocations. An invocation is a way to invoke Maitreya's energy, which is the energy of the Christ. And this universe, by the way, is a Christ-conscious universe. So the Christ the Christ is the energy. It's like a building block for who we are. We are Christ consciousness, and we're awakening to that. But first I'll say this one, because I have this one hanging on my wall. All right, this is a very powerful statement. What I would ask you to do is close your eyes. Take some nice deep breaths. And feel this invocation. I am the creator of the universe. I am the father and the mother of the universe. Everything came from me. Everything shall return to me. Mind, spirit, and body are my temples. For the self to realize in them my supreme being and becoming. That's a really powerful statement. When you look at those words, first of all, I'm the creator of the universe. In the smallest of nutshells, what that means at a certain level, especially the level of the awakening, there are no victims. I am the creator of the universe. I'm the father and the mother of the universe. There's the androgyny. No separation. Everything came from me. Everything shall return to me. That is what the basis of the law of attraction is talking about, except from a soul perspective. So it's about karma. If I steal from somebody, then something will be taken from me. If I treat somebody poorly, then somebody will treat me poorly. And it won't necessarily be the same person. It will just be somewhere in my universe, which is a pretty big space out there, people. It will come back to you. So everything came from me. Everything shall return to me. This ultimately is the beginning teachings and the understanding of harmlessness. If we harm nothing, nothing will harm us. It can be no other way. Once you have an understanding of the laws of the universe, there's safety is a state of being. It's a choice. It's not something that you create by locking doors or putting bars around your window. And it's funny because I say that I'm often driving to the airport. When I drive to LaGuardia Airport or JFK Airport, there's a place on the highway. I think it's Long Island, but I could be wrong. I just know it's en route to New York. I'll look at all these homes and I'll see bars on the window. And I think to myself, indeed, you're keeping people out, but by the same token, you're a prisoner in your own house. There are bars on your window. I mean, I know that you can get out, but, you know, I always used to think to myself, what if there was a fire? You couldn't just bust open a window, you know, if the fire was in one end of the house, if there's bars on the window. So it's always fascinating to me when I see what people do to create themselves to be safe, and yet their thoughts and their belief systems imprison them. There's a fantastic movie I saw once. It's called The Hurricane with Denzel Washington. There's a poignant part at the end of the movie. I don't want to give away the whole part of the movie. I'm struggling whether I should say the poignant part or not. But I'm going to. I mean, it's based on a true story. A gentleman was put into jail, and he was angry, 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 angry. And the whole movie shows him battling with his demons and his fears. And towards the end of the movie, there's this young boy who is working with a team of people to help get him out because he was put in jail falsely accused. And before he even gets out of jail, when they're awaiting his latest trial, he says to the little boy, "Hatred put me in prison. Love will set me free." That is a truth, whether your prison is a physical jail or if your prison is an abusive relationship or if your prison is being around a lot of people but feeling as lonely as you could feel as if you were the only person standing in the middle of the moon. Prisons come in many shapes and forms, and truly, the way out of the prison is love. Is love, is awareness, is the understanding all is not as it seems. Just truly tremendous, tremendous things can be changed by the awareness of belief systems and things of that nature. You know, it's interesting. I was totally on a bend speaking just now, and this happens to me all the time. I will what I call fall off a cliff. I do not remember what I was talking about. I also want my listeners to know I tend to tell stories. I don't always necessarily go back to certain things that I've said in completion. If there's anything I've said, I don't do it on purpose. I tell stories in circular because it's the way I process things in my mind, in my brain. I don't process them linearly. They pop into my head. I speak them. I share them. It's always from the sincerity to help everybody who's listening experience their awakening, experience their soul, to share my own vulnerabilities, to share my own truths, which, by the way, truth is something that, as we go through these initiation stages, will absolutely change. I highly recommend people being fluid in their truth because truth will indeed change. Yes, indeed. And there's no shame around that. There's no guilt around that. It is a beautiful experience to know that as truth changes, our frequencies change, our perceptions change, our experiences change. And you can go from being a very needy, codependent, drug-addicted person to a beautiful, flowering, self-reliant, free-spirited aspect of love. And I know this because both of the aspects I just explained, the codependent drug addict and the free spirit aspect, is me. That is very much a documentation, so to speak, of my journey. And I'm very open to talking about my journey. I feel that when we share where we've been and share who we have the potential of becoming, it brings hope. Again, the Maitreya messages bring hope. Tremendous, tremendous hope that we have elder brothers. And it's interesting, they talk about most of the masters on the planet right now are men, but there are masters that were women. Mother Mary was a woman. Mary Magdalene was a woman. Kuan Yin. But because of the nature of the patriarchal systems that we have in place now, many of the masters that come into the planet now will come in male form in order so that they can have the influence that they need to, whether they be in political positions or economic positions or whatever the position of power is. After Maitreya makes his day of declaration, you will hear from a lot of people like Wayne Peterson speaking out. Wayne Peterson wrote in his book, his was the first book I read, what was it called? Something beings, amazing beings, amazing times. It wasn't the word amazing though. Wayne Peterson. That if you look up Wayne Peterson, you'll see something being something times. It's something like amazing or wonderful or incredible, immaculate. I forget what the word was. Anyways, see, I'm losing my train of thought again. Wait a minute, I had something to say. When he wrote about it, hope. When you read about it, oh, Gorbachev, Maitreya has visited Gorbachev. In fact, Maitreya helped Gorbachev to end the Cold War. Maitreya visited Nelson Mandela and helped him to establish himself as a leader in Africa. Maitreya had influenced Germany in bringing the wall down. These are in the, I'm not sure if they're in Wayne Peterson's book, but I know they're in the Maitreya mission books. And when you read them, you feel good. You feel good because, you know what, humanity is really, in my personal opinion, very much a species that wants to do the right thing, to do the good thing, to take care of each other, to live in communities where we're sharing, not living in communities and competing. I've believed this all my life. I've been called a Pollyanna. I've been called this, that, and the other thing. I've been called a lot of things. But the truth of the matter is, humanity is inherently goodness. I mean, genuine goodness. After 9/11, boy, you saw the good, you felt the goodness of people all around the world rallying behind New York City. It was such an exquisite, in fact, there was some scientific meter that registered compassion after 9/11. For the first 3 days after 9/11, compassion was so high on the planet, it registered on a meter, some scientific meter, that it had heightened. Everybody know, you just know, and I know that there are some power people. There are a minority. What's so funny is the minority of the people that don't have compassion and love and goodwill in their hearts, they are indeed a minority, and their power is indeed ending. It's coming to an end. That's why these major bankings and Wall Street are collapsing, and this is not like the collapse of, you know, the Black Monday or Black Friday of the 80s and 90s, or even of the Depression. This is the end of an era where 5% of very greedy, selfish, nasty human beings control and take over and power, have power over 95% of the population. The population now is awakening inside of themselves to the truth that they are sovereign beings. They are souled beings, that they can make a difference just by sheer numbers. We don't need armies and guns. We just need to band together in unity. Jim Morrison had his lyrics in one of his songs, "You got the guns, we got the numbers." If we would band together as unified field, as a unified presence, which is exactly what is happening with Maitreya, then we will have an influence over that 5% like never before. It's going to be so easy once we all come together. And the interesting part about why I'm very excited about doing a Maitreya show as well is Maitreya talks about the media. In his books, he's been waiting for the media to invite him to come out. First of all, I would like to make the invitation right now. Another reality show on Blog Talk Radio, Absolutely. I welcome Maitreya to come to my show, and you can speak, you can overshadow me, you can come, you can manifest yourself in my room and be a guest on my show. I would be honored. But, well, not but, no but, no but. Everything said after a but negates it. I welcome Maitreya to come on my show. And until then, I am happy to have the Maitreya people who have been promoting this work, including Benjamin Krem, to come on and share the wisdom and share the hope, because we can get this movement started, and it already is, without Maitreya coming onto the TV, by simply acknowledging it within our own hearts that we are soul beings, that we care about people, that we're going to make the action of harmlessness, that we're going to share. There is something called transition meditation, or transmission, I'm sorry, transmission meditation. It is taught by the Maitreya masters, which is essentially it has to be done with at least three people, minimum of three people. There's an invocation, which I'm going to read to you right now. As soon as I find it. There is, what you do is you read the invocation. Well, you can read or play some. Maitreya has on the Share International website some downloads that don't cost anything. You can hear Maitreya coming through Benjamin Krem, and boy, I'm telling you, you can feel it when he comes through. You can feel it when you listen to these downloads. It's really quite profound. And the Great Invocation, 683. Okay. So you can play one of those. There's like 11 or 12 of those. 11 or 12 of those. No, I am such a bad multitasker. It's terrible. There are 11 or 12 of those downloads. You have three people. You play one of those downloads. And then you're going to read this great invocation, which was given by Maitreya. Okay, here it is. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. I mean, I am so energized by these invocations and by these, I don't want to call them prayers. They're not prayers. They literally activate energies, Maitreya energies. And don't think of Maitreya as a person. Think of him as a being, as an essence, because he is consciously aware of himself on multi-dimensional levels, and the best part is he's here to show us, as are the other masters, it's where we're headed. We're going to be gods at some point in time in our evolution, and when we meet those that have stepped on the path before us, what it's going to do is going to bring us tremendous hope that we haven't been making the wrong decisions, and we haven't, meaning personally, we're not bad people. You know, we're just beings on an evolutionary path, and that path is significantly going to take a what do they call that, learning curve, the bell curve, significantly going to take a bell curve when our elder brothers show us, come to us, speak to us, share with us the plan, which is very simple. Share all the resources. Make healthcare, food, shelter, and education available to every single person on this planet. That's the message. It's very simple. And in that simple achieving of that message, life on Earth will become like Disneyland everywhere. I mean, we will be creative. We will be inspired. We will be, oh my God, unbelievably, amazingly bigger, more relaxed. There will be no disease. Everything will shift. And it is very much within our power to do this. I mean, very, very much within our power to do this. It is my belief that Maitreya will do the Day of Declaration within the next couple of years, because 2012 has such a significance on people's beliefs. They think it's the end of time, when the truth of the matter is it's time for timelessness. And timelessness is when the whole world looks like Walt Disney World. Timelessness is when every single person on the planet has enough to eat and can be in the physical body without survival, so that it can then grow in its soul on the path of its evolution. If your body is starving, you can't even begin to walk the evolutionary path of your soul, because all the energy that's in your being goes to finding food. It's just the way it is. You have to be able to eat, and you have to be able to sustain yourself. But once that is taken care of, well, then you can reach a place where you can start talking to interdimensionally to the divas and the fairies and the pixies and oh my God, the plants. You can't believe the plants will talk back to you. The animals will talk to you. The indigenous people have known this. Shamans have known this. Toltecs have known this. It's an exquisite planet once we get out of quote-unquote survival mode. I mean, exquisitely creative. Exquisitely creative. So I am coming up to the top of my show. It was 2 hours. And anyone who is out there listening or will listen later on, I'd love your feedback. Please leave comments, good comments, bad comments. I am open to whatever you have to say. If there's something I started, a thread that I started that I never went back to, and you want to hear more about it, definitely let me know. And I would be honored to go over things. I tend to be very, I'm a free spirit. I fly with the best of them. I laugh with the worst of them, and I just keep on going, because my goal is to get to, Shambhala. Shambhala. I named my cat after a book called Return to Shambhala by the gentleman who wrote Celestine Prophecy. And it's interesting because Maitreya talks about Shambhala and how we're going to return to a place where inevitably our minds will be how we create our... I got 20 seconds left. Inevitably, our minds will create everything for us physically. But until we get to that point, let's take good care of each other, because God knows we are all one. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, and I hope you listen again. Bye. Oh, okay. Well, now they're telling me I have 60 seconds. First they said 20 seconds. I don't want you guys to... Oh, here, check out my website, anotherrealityshow.com. I have a lot of stuff going on there. Got some downloads. I have a lot of friends. Have a lot of archive shows from when I was on Universal 7 Radio. Feedback. This will definitely work. please, please give me feedback. If there's a show you want to hear about UFOs or you want channelers or you want healers, let me know what you're looking for, and I'll do my best if I have it in my archives to find, you know, the people that are passionate and expertises on this. 10 more seconds. Ah, this is so much fun. I love being in alive in 2009. It is an absolute pleasure.